You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening. Now we're on the fifth installment of our series, Unwavering. And for the past 4 weeks, we have been talking about the life of Abraham, looking deeper at his life for us to learn what it means to live a life of faith, what it means to live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. Each and every one of us here have been walked through in particular areas of Abraham's life for us to learn from those areas specifics of how we can increase our faith. Now today, we're going to Genesis chapter 17 and we're going to dig deeper of what it means to be in faith while waiting on the promises of God. Join me as I read Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 to 22. It says here, verse 15, and God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes. And I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Verse 22 says there, when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. When my son came to this world, I've experienced something that I've never want to experience once again. Before Deo came to this world, the night when my wife, Eds, is about to give birth, we rush her to the hospital, and that's about 10 p.m. And if you understand labor and delivery, you would know what I'm talking about. Now, when we think about labor, it's somehow longer than delivery. We rush Eds to the hospital at about 10 p.m. because she was already starting her labor. And I thought that her labor would be long because it's her first delivery. And when we got to the hospital at 10 p.m., by 12 midnight, she was already brought to the delivery room. Her labor took her 2 hours. And I thought, when she was already in the delivery room, I thought, Lord, thank you, because, Lord, dali lang ang iyang labor. It only took her 2 hours. Some people took 36 hours for their labor, and she only had 2 hours. And I prayed, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the favor, for giving Eds the strength. Now, she was already in that delivery room, and I thought that would be quick. I thought that it will be just a few minutes that they will be coming out. So I prayed for Thanksgiving. Now 30 minutes passed, 1 hour passed, and still there's no Deo. They were still, both of them, in the delivery room. And my prayer from Thanksgiving, it became some sort of pleading. As minutes would pass by, I became more anxious. I became more fearful of the life of my wife and my child. If you're inclined to the medical field, you would understand that the longer the delivery process would take, the more harmful it could become to the mother and to the child. And an hour and 30 minutes passed. And my prayer was that, Lord, please, instead of, Lord, thank you, my prayer began to become begging. I was like begging, Lord, Lord, please, Lord, humana ang iyang delivery, Lord. Because I know that it will be just a matter of time that Eds would lose her strength. Both of them would be placed in great danger. After 2 hours and few minutes, Deo came out. And it was a great relief for me. I'm sharing that because that was the longest 2 hours of my life. And I don't want to experience that once again. Now, what happens when we are expecting something so great and we are so excited and expectant, and at the middle of it, there's what we call waiting? When God would want us to wait for something before we are able to take hold of it. What happens when waiting stands between you and the promise of God for your life? What happens to the excitement? What happens to the expectation? A lot of us would become fearful. Just like me, a lot of us would become more anxious as the time would pass by. For the singles right here, Lord, 21 ako, when will he come? When will she come? As the years would pass by, Lord, we become more desperate. And a lot of us here wouldn't want to wait. Sometimes we would want to take the matters into our own hands because we don't like waiting. In this world of fast food, everything is instant. And none of us would want to have that character that would be willing and joyfully wait for something. And we're going to look at the life of Abraham. Now, let me ask you this. What happens to faith when we wait? Does it increase or does it come crumbling down? Now, let's take a look at the life of Abraham. We all know that Abraham received a promise from God when he was, at what age? 75 years old. God gave Abraham a promise that he would be a father of nations at the age of 75. Just imagine this one. 75 years old, that's not young. So much more, his wife, Sarah, at age 65. In our current generation, that's past childbearing age. Right here, we have Abraham at age 75, he received his promise from the Lord. Abraham, you will be the father of many nations. Who among you would agree with me that it doesn't make sense? It won't make sense. And certainly to Abraham, it didn't make sense. If I were Abraham at age 75, I would think that, yes, this is it. It will just be a matter of 1 to 2 years that the promise would come. Because if there's a time that I will be bearing a son or a child, that would be now. Because as the years would pass, I would go past my deadline. Lapaw na ko sa akong deadline. Overdue na ko. Certainly, my wife also is long overdue. Wala siya gibisit sa iyang visitor monthly. And Abraham received his promise at age 75, but he will have to wait 25 long years before he will be able to receive the fulfillment of his promise. 25 long years. That's a lot of waiting right there. That's a lot of waiting that year. And as we look at the life of Abraham, we will be able to see that season of waiting is also the season of testing. A lot of times, God would want us to wait for something because he is testing our character. He is testing the person who we are today. Are we ready for the blessing? Are we ready to receive that promise? Are we ready to receive that great and precious gift coming from him? The season of waiting is also the season of testing. It is also a time of pruning, of sharpening, of building. Oftentimes, waiting reveals who or what we value the most. Oftentimes, waiting would reveal to us personally what we value the most, who we value the most. In this context of faith, it will reveal to us who do we value or what do we value. Do we value the promise more than the promise giver? Or do we value the promise giver rather than the promise? Are we willing to wait? Because if we value God more than his promises, then we would be willing to wait. We would be willing to wait on what he is going to do in our lives. Now, God promised Abraham such a great reward. And Abraham and Sarah, they just have one desire. And they just have one longing for their family. That is to have a son. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, but Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me for I continue childless? In verse 3, and Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring. This is their desire. They were rich. They were wealthy. They had everything that they would ever need, but they don't have a son. They don't have a child. In their time, that is their pride. To have children is the pride of parents. And even right now, I believe that to have children, it's the pride of parents. But in Abraham's time, if you don't have a son, then you don't have an heir. And after receiving a word of the promise, I believe his expectation grew. Now, this is it. His hopes were up. But what happened? God allowed him to wait for 25 long years. There's still that waiting. Months passed, years passed. No son, no children. After 10 long years, still no children. Abraham and Sarah waited many years, but there's none. After 10 years, this is what happened. Sarah had a brilliant idea. She thought if she was barren, then her husband could have a son through her slave. Her idea was to have her husband have relations with her slave so that they could have a child and she could get the child and make that child their own. That was her idea, and she presented that idea to Abraham. And what did Abraham do? Our father of faith accepted the idea. He accepted the challenge. There's nothing wrong with Abraham listening to his wife. Abraham knew that it wasn't God's idea. It wasn't God's plan. But he listened to his wife. Now, there's nothing wrong with Abraham listening to his wife. In fact, it was a very good act of Abraham to listen to his wife. But what's wrong there is that Abraham never consulted God. If you look at the progression of the story, it never mentioned Abraham coming to God and asking God whether this is his plan or not. That was the mistake of Abraham. He didn't ask God. A lot of times, for us, we have that kind of attitude. When we are presented with a good idea, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best idea, but it's a good idea, and we succumb to the idea. Just because of desperation, we would want to succumb to something that is not God's plan for us. After Ishmael was born, there was 13 years of silence from God. 13 long years of silence from God. And what intrigued me the most is that when God was silent, Abraham was also silent. There was no mention of Abraham bringing sacrifices to God or praying to God or putting an altar to God. Abraham was also silent. It occurred to me that Abraham might have been comfortable where he is at. Abraham might have thought that Ishmael was the fulfillment of God's promise. Because God was silent and he was so rich, he doesn't have anything to ask for. He had a son. Maybe this is it. I already have a son. But look what happened in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 7. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. He said, I am God Almighty. After 13 long years, God appeared. God spoke to Abraham. The first thing he said, I am God Almighty. If I look at this, this is a slap on Abraham's face. It was like God telling Abraham that, Abraham, I don't need your help for me to fulfill the promise that I have given to you. I don't need your intervention for me to fulfill your promises. I don't even need your good deeds for me to fulfill the promise that I have given to you. It was like telling Abraham, Abraham, I'm more than capable of fulfilling my word, and I am powerful beyond measure for me to be able to create a miracle in your life. It was like God saying, Abraham, I know you're old. I know Sarah is old. I know all of that. But I can still create a miracle in your life. I can still give you a son. You didn't need to intervene. I can create a miracle in you, even if you're old. Now, some of us here might be experiencing something that is so difficult right now. We might be in a place na there's no way out. Lord, impossible na gyud ni Lord. Impossible na gyud ni na malampasan ako, Lord. Wala na'y makataban ako, Lord. But if we look at the life of Abraham, it tells us that God is more than capable and God is more than willing to create a miracle in our life. Can you tell your seatmate, God can handle it. Whatever you're going through, whatever mess you are in, whatever problem that you are in, God can handle it. God can handle it for you. And this is the best thing. God's promises are never affected by our failures. Even if we fail, even if we disappoint God, it will never affect the promise that He has for us. God will certainly fulfill His word so that His glory will be displayed in us. God's promises are never affected by our failures. Independent of our performance, God will fulfill His promise even if we fail many times, even if we sin after the service, even if we commit mistake over and over again, God will still fulfill His end of the covenant. God is faithful, church. After what Abraham did, God was still willing to fulfill His word, to fulfill His promise. And take a look at this. God wasn't just willing to fulfill His promise to Abraham. God was willing to transform Abraham. From Abraham to Abraham, He transformed this man. It was like saying, Abraham, I'm calling you now Abraham because you have a new destiny. You have a new identity. You have a new mission. You have a new way to show my glory to people. In fact, He didn't just change or transform Abraham. He also transformed the wife of Abraham, Sarai. Look at this in verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And if we look at the Bible, whenever God changes the names of people, it's a picture of God's transformation. It's a way for God to tell His people that, hey, my son, my daughter, you now have a new identity. You no longer have to live your former life. I'm calling you for a new mission. God changed Abraham and Sarah. It also is a picture of our salvation. That the moment we allow God to come into our life, God will transform us. God will give us the new identity in Christ. God will give us a new purpose. God will give us a new calling, a new mission for us to fulfill. Verse 16, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. It says here, I will bless her. In just one verse, God repeated twice these words, I will bless her. And this is an assurance from God to Abraham that in fact, God will fulfill His promise. God will fulfill His word. Despite the mistakes of Abraham and Sarah, God will still fulfill His covenant. I will bless her. I will bless her. Genesis chapter 16, and she shall become nations, kings of people shall come from her. And at this time, if I were Abraham, when I hear this word, she shall become nations, kings of people shall come from her. If I were Abraham, I would now realize that there's something wrong that I did in the past. That I intervened in God's plan. I messed up God's plan. That Ishmael, the son that I am holding on to dearly, at that moment, is not the son of the promise. He said, she shall become nations pertaining to Sarah. But why do you think that God waited until Abraham was almost 100 years old when he began to spoke of the promise once again? Why do you think God waited that long for him to fulfill the promise? God waited that long to fulfill His promise so that His glory will be displayed greatly. The Bible teaches us that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. To Abraham and Sarah, it was already impossible. But God is telling us here right now that nothing is impossible with Him. Humanly impossible, that's possible for me. Nothing is impossible with God. God waited for such long years for Him to display His full glory. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Don Anderson said, God gets ready to do a work in our lives when we finally give up on our own human efforts and just trust Him. When we finally give up on our own efforts, then it's there that God can do His work. The only requirement for God to fulfill His plan and purposes in our lives or His promises in our lives is for us to trust Him. We just have to trust Him. The surrendering of human effort is also a key to our relationship with God. If we want our relationship with God to thrive, all we have to do is to surrender ourselves to the Lord. To surrender our abilities before God and submit to His will. And this is a very good picture of God's lordship over our lives. 100% submission, full surrender. If we are able to do this, then God can do His great work in our lives. If we would just allow God to call the shots for us, then we will not be making the mess that we are in right now. We will not be making the mistakes that we have done in the past. If we just allow God to call the shots for us. Full surrender, full submission. If we try to seek God just all by our own effort, we will just be like a man trying to cross the Antarctic Ocean using a canoe if we will just be seeking God just by our own efforts. One thing about this canoe is that when we try to come to God using this one, we will just be tired, exhausted. And along the way, we might sink in the middle of the ocean. Trying to get to God by our own efforts will not do us any good. Why not just ride this big boat and we're not exhausting ourselves? We're not even making great effort, but we are also enjoying the journey that we are taking as we cross that ocean. Which one would you prefer? To be tired and exhausted and not reach our destination? Or to enjoy the journey and enjoy the destination that we are going to? I hope and pray that we would ride this boat as we come to our Heavenly Father. When Abraham heard of that message from the Lord, now Abraham begins to process those things. In verse 17, he said, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" In the New Living Translation, it says there, he laughed in disbelief. Have you ever experienced being in a situation wherein there's this news? Let's say, for example, someone told you, you just won $1 million. And you're hopeful, you're excited. This could be true. You're hopeful that it would be true. But in your mind, the facts doesn't fit in. How in the world would I win $1 million if I didn't sign up to anything? You're hoping that it's true. You begin to increase your hope, but it doesn't make sense. That's what happened to Abraham. The Lord is telling him, you will bear a son. But all of the facts is against his favor. He laughed and said to God, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son?" 90 and 100 years old. How in the world would these people bear a son or bear a child? They're past their bearing age. To us, it's humanly impossible, but to God, nothing is impossible. Verse 18, "And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.'" Now, this is what happened. Because Abraham thought that it's impossible for them and Sarah to have a son, he had an idea. It was like saying, "God, this is impossible. But right here, God, I have my son Ishmael. Why not put your blessing in this son of mine? He's already 13 years old. He's more than capable. I love him so dearly." This is the plan of Abraham, to put Ishmael under the blessing of God. Have you tried submitting your plans to God? And have you tried submitting your plans to God and God said no? Because this was Abraham's plan and God said no. Abraham wanted to cling to the idea that Ishmael was the chosen one because it is already impossible for him. Abraham wanted to settle to Ishmael. We settle for less because we think that it's impossible to have the best. Sometimes we have that idea, adrin na lang ko. Mo may kaya. Sometimes we could be so stubborn that we think that God's ways is inferior to our ways. We think na mas better akong idea, Lord. My encouragement for us is don't settle for less because God wants the best. If we think that this is impossible, let's leave it up to God. Don't settle for less because God wants the best. So Abraham had a plan. And in verse 19, God said no. "But Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." God said no to the plan. If I was Abraham, I would be devastated. "Lord, wala na hope, Lord. I'm looking at myself, Lord, and Wala na gyud, Lord. Di na gyud kaya, Lord. I'm looking at my wife. My wife is old. She's not getting any younger. There's no hope. Abraham was devastated. And a lot of us, sometimes, we are like that. We have a great plan that we have crafted for ourselves and we submit it to God. Lord, nice kaya akong plano, Lord. Bless this plan of mine, Lord. And God says, my son, my daughter, no. That's not my plan for you. You say, Lord, this is my best. I put in everything in this plan. I don't have anything else. Why don't you consider this one, Lord? Still, God says, no, that's not my plan for you. Instead of losing hope, why don't we use God's no as an encouragement? Because when God says no, it's no more than just a redirection. Because God will redirect us for us to be able to see the perfect plan that He has for us. God would want us to experience the fulfillment of His promises for us. When God says no, it's just a redirection. Because God wants the best for you. God wants you to experience the fulfillment of His promises. If God said yes to the plan of Abraham, we wouldn't be here talking about Abraham. If God said yes to the plan of Abraham, we wouldn't have the Savior that we are worshiping today. When God says no, it's no more than a redirection. Because God wants us to see the fulfillment of His promises in our lives. Genesis chapter 17 verse 20 says, Abraham pleaded to God, and God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes and I will make him into a great nation. God giving Ishmael his blessing as well is a great picture of how good, how caring, how loving God is. That even if Abraham made a mistake, even if Abraham made a foolish decision in his life, God will still want to bless the fruits of Abraham. And this is our assurance today that God hears our prayers. God hears the longings of our hearts. No matter how long you have been praying for that, God still hears it. And God would want to answer it. He said in verse 21, but I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. In spite of everything that Sarah and Abraham did that messed up God's plan, God was still willing to fulfill His promise. Church, God is faithful in spite of us. Even though we are unfaithful, God will remain faithful. Even if we break our part of the covenant, God will still oblige Himself to fulfill the covenant because He loves us. And because He is good. Because He is caring. And because He looks at us so dearly. His beloved children, sons and daughters. Despite the fact that we may have to wait at times, God is faithful not to forget us. Okay lang. Wait lang ta. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. There's an aspect of waiting in our faith. But that doesn't mean God has forgotten us. That doesn't mean God has forgotten us. Instead, He always comes to our rescue in the perfect time. In the perfect time and moment, God comes to our rescue. God knows where you are and what you need. God's delay is not His denial, friends. God's delay is not His denial. God's timing is always perfect. We just have to trust His wisdom. If we are more than willing to trust His power, let us begin to trust God's wisdom. The Bible teaches us that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That is one great assurance that we can trust Him. We can trust God. When my son was in the hospital, when he was delivered, I was so hopeful that we will just be out in the hospital for just a few more days, 2 days or 3 days. But God has a different plan. God extended Deo for another week in the hospital. We were praying and claiming the Lord, there will be no complication. For the whole 9 months of pregnancy, we were praying that, Lord, there is no complication. Everything will go well. But God has another plan. God wanted us to wait for a little longer. That 1 week extension in the hospital, it taught us one thing. Full trust and dependence to God. Waiting, most of the time, teaches us to put our full trust and dependence on God. May it be in the area of finances. May it be in the area of broken relationship. God wants us to wait because He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to put our full dependence on Him. Romans chapter 4, verse 18, talking about Abraham. In hope, he believed against hope. At first glance, it doesn't make sense. Hope against hope. But this is the faith of Abraham. That even against all odds, he still kept on believing on the word of God. These are the facts. It's real. These are the facts. But Abraham put more weight on the word of God, on the promise of God in his life. Abraham continued to trust God. Now that is the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham in waiting didn't mean that he didn't do anything. The son of Abraham and Sarah was a miracle. But it wasn't immaculate conception. Abraham and Sarah had to have marital relations, trusting the Lord that as they do this, God will do His part. And that is faith right there. Faith will allow us to move or to be in action against all odds. Even if it doesn't make sense, faith would allow us to keep on moving forward. Let me ask you this. What are some of God's promises for you today? What are some of God's promises for you that you have stopped believing for? That you have been praying for it for 10 years, 15 years, and you thought to yourself, na Lord, wala na gyud ni. Hindi na ni mo abot. Butang nila ko ni siya sa sideline. What are those promises that God has given you for the longest time? Because God wants you to hold on to it. God wants you to hold on to it. God is reminding us today of the promises that He has made in our lives. He wants us to be in faith. He wants us to wait. He wants us to trust Him. Because He is about to fulfill the promises that He has made in our lives.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.